For me, it's first defining what it is those things are that are important to me. And then it's also, what is it that I want to bring to the world in part of my own light that shines? And am I getting closer or further away from that? So, you know, the game hot or cold, where you're like, oh, you're warm, you're warmer, you're on fire, or you're cold and frozen. I try to sit with the emotion that I'm feeling to be able to calibrate, am I warmer or colder as it relates to this moment in time or this decision? But it's a work in progress, and I'm working on the muscles and tuning the dials.
This is Collective Wisdom, the show that helps you answer the question, what do I truly want to create next in my life? So pull up a chair or pop in some headphones and join us as we embark on this journey together. I'm your host, Lucy Reynolds, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello and good day to the Collective Wisdom podcast crew. Today's guest is Maria Hess. I am so excited to introduce her to you all. She is a good friend of mine. We've known each other for over 30 years, and I'm super excited to introduce her to all of you and have her share her story and some pearls of wisdom on how she's navigated her career and her personal life. But before we get started, Maria is an early stage product builder, an investor, a startup advisor, and she's been leveraging over 20 years of experience to bring consumer and business software products to market. Through leadership roles across Amazon, Google, Expedia Group, to venture capital groups such as Madrona Venture Labs, and multiple startups have had the opportunity to have Maria grace their presence. Her passion for product building and go-to-market and growth is combined to support early stage founders in their startup journey. She's based in Seattle with her three amazing kids, whom I just think are rock stars. She loves to travel, scuba dive, dance. She's quite a good dancer. You can find her on a trail, on her gravel bike, skiing, and she loves to support the performing arts. Maria, thank you so much for joining me today and playing with me and the Collective Wisdom podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here. I couldn't be more excited and really appreciate the opportunity for the conversation, especially with a dear friend that I've known for many years.
Well, let's get going. But before we sort of get into the show flow of what the Collective Wisdom podcast and the Murmuration Collective are trying to bring to our community, I want to do a little something that we do on retreat, and that is to go beyond the bio. I would love to just ask you a few random questions so we can tap into the real Carmen Maria Hess. Would you play with me? Can I do that?
Absolutely. I am here for it.
Awesome. All right. So I think one of the things that I want to often ask our guests is, what's important to you right now in your life? Like, where are you pointing your compass when you think about what's valuable?
My kids, top of mind, three teenagers, and being the best parent I can be. I'm really challenged by three teenagers right now. And so between reading and, you know, the various folks I follow on the various social channels, and really that's one of the areas that I focus a lot on, is how to be the best, most authentic parent I can be. The other is my health. You know, I think that in all the facets of health, right, my physical health, my emotional, mental, I'm not a great parent if those things aren't working well. So yeah, that's super important. And of course, my family. So I'm listing these three things, not necessarily have a priority order, other than to say they're all three very important to me. And of course, my friends. I mean, I'll get more into how critical and important their presence in my life is. But yes, those are what's top of mind for me.
I love that. Thank you. And our values ebb and flow, and we're going to get into that. But right now, those are anchors, and those are informing some of the decisions I bet that you're making in your life, because those are priorities. So thanks for sharing that. I have known you since we went to college together. So I think I've known you since you were 18. And I know of your childhood through wonderful stories, but what did you want to be when you were a little girl?
A dancer.
I knew that. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, the art of performance and expression and joy and doing that with others, the various characters you get to play, the music that comes with it. Everything about it is just, I love dance. I love watching dance today. I was watching an underwater dancer deep in the Bahamas on a video that I was so intrigued by. And it was like combining underwater with dance.
a perfect trifecta, you know. Okay, amazing. And how does that love and passion for dance and that little girl inform you? Does she inform you? Does she guide you? Does she give you inner wisdom in your current life?
I'm certain she does. When I'm listening to her, there's times I don't listen to her well enough. There's a couple facets of dance, though, that I think that I've learned to do. One is of expression, of joy, of being with others. And the other is I'll sometimes refer to tap dancing or shape-shifting and doing things that please others, but not necessarily myself. Two tiny dancers, if you will, that I think about. And depending on which one I'm listening more to, will reflect in kind of the choices I make.
I love that. We might even get in more into that later too. Okay. It is a passion of mine to evoke in women for them to claim their superpowers. What is one or two of your superpowers?
It's interesting. I get asked these things as part of our review at work. One of the things that I'm trying to turn the dial up on is what I think is a unique superpower, and that's the ability to connect people at work and bring them together, because I really believe that I have a unique skill at listening and reading a room that I've learned as a function of some of this, perhaps shape-shifting, if you will, so that I can anticipate and hear what folks are really asking about, to really hear what others are communicating and even asking questions deeper to really make sure I'm getting it, is a skill that I don't see often in the workplace or enough, that I'm trying to dial up in the way I show up. I can bring levity to a moment at a time.
I do not know what you're talking about. I've never seen that happen.
That to me is just like, you need to have fun at work. And, you know, because I spend so much time at work, I want to bring that part of me. And at times I've also tried to dial that down, but you have to bring some joy to work. It has to be fun. You want to be the person, the leader at the team that others want to be a part of, because you're real, you're authentic, and that's part of who I am. So,
I love that. Thank you. I'm actually throwing one extra question in because I'm super curious about this. One of the things about Maria is that she is an adventurer and she has done some really unique travel. You know, usually when I ask people kind of what's on their bucket list, there's a lot of travel involved in that. But I'm just curious, like, what's one or two things that are on your bucket list that I might not know about?
At one point, I wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars. I think that's going back to my dance theme.
Can we still have that on the list?
I do. I think there's other ways to bring that forward. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Dancing with the Stars, but there's elements of dance and performance that I still want to bring forward. And I'm offering that up. Just, I don't have the new version of that, but that's something I take a ton of joy in. The other is, you know, as my kids are getting older, certainly creating opportunities that they want to do stuff with me. A bucket list thing in this moment of time is that someone would curate a trip that could include them and their friends and maybe their families in a way that we get to just show up and be. And whether that's Africa, or I'd love to dive the Cocos Islands. There's a diving element that doesn't necessarily fit neatly in with what my kids would love to do, but nonetheless, there's something there where we just, you know, get to show up and enjoy each other's company without having to orchestrate.
An epic trip of a lifetime that you teleport yourself into and boom, you're there and everything's worked out perfectly. I'm right there with you. Okay. All right. Let's get into what we're trying to bring to life here for women. So the Murmuration Collective, when we decided to do a podcast, we really wanted to bring unique women. Well, and I think every person is unique, by the way. So if you're not on the show yet, you will be. Hang on, I'm coming for you, people. But to have women tell their story through the lens of three of our pillars. And our pillars are inner wisdom, what we refer to as nature wisdom, and collective wisdom. So the podcast has its name from our third pillar, collective wisdom. And that is exactly what we're doing here today, is just sharing pearls of wisdom, collective wisdom. As you're driving along today and listening to Maria and I, like, Maria and I are going to be chatting, and answer these questions for yourself and name them for yourself. Because what we like to do as we're coaching women and facilitating women is we say we like to make the subconscious conscious. And so what you and I might be doing here today, Maria, is allowing clarity, more clarity around the art of naming something for somebody who might be listening. So that is our goal here, is there's a little bit of shared collective wisdom through our dialogue. So shall we play and move forward?
Let's play.
Let's do it. So let's start with pillar one. When we think about inner wisdom, this is where we work around aligning what's valuable to us in our lives today to help us make values-based informed decisions. And our bodies are highly intuitive, highly communicative. Hey, this is awesome. We're in alignment with our values. Please keep going. This is awesome. And then there's all other ways that they're like, oh my Lord, are you seriously still doing this? Do you not feel the pit in your stomach? This is me banging on your abdomen to be like, pivot, change, let's go in a different direction. So I love to hear from women who have done work to really get to know their inner wisdom, their leader within. And so I really want to just sort of tap into, when do you know that you're in alignment with your values? How do you know, okay, my inner wisdom and I are in sync, we're making the right decisions, proceed forward, collect 200 and pass go. Talk to me more about that.
So if I hear the question right, it's how do I know when I'm in alignment with my values?
Yes.
It's something I've really been working on. And part of what draws me to what it is that you're doing is creating an opportunity to be focused on it. It's something where, as I was describing these two tiny dancers, if you will, the one that's vibrant and shining bright and feeling in the flow of what it is that she wants to do, and this other one that is, call it tap dancing, to shapeshift and to somehow achieve. So that was one of the ways that, as I've learned about myself growing up, you know, achievement was one of the ways that I received love. And so I try to sit closely with which of these dancers is speaking to me in this moment.
I just got chills. That's awesome.
And it's a work in progress. There's times when I want to be listening to this vibrant, shining dancer on the one shoulder. And I think the tap dancer shape-shifting has sort of been trained to accommodate what it is that others are wanting from me in a way it doesn't feel authentic. To kind of level set on the values, for me, it's first defining what it is those things are that are important to me. Mm-hmm. I certainly mentioned the people that are priorities for me, my kids, my health, my family, my friends. And then it's also, what is it that I want to bring to the world in part of my own light that shines? Mm-hmm. And am I getting closer or further away from that pin? So, you know, the game hot or cold, where you're like, oh, you're warm, you're warmer, mm-hmm. you're on fire, mm-hmm. you're cold and frozen. I try to sit with the emotion of that I'm feeling to be able to calibrate, am I warmer or colder as it relates to this moment in time or this decision? And which of these dancers is speaking more loudly in the moment? Mm-hmm. I wish I was able to have more of a clear like recipe. It's always this or that, but it's a work in progress and I'm working on the muscles and tuning the dials.
If you're just listening to us, she is actually tuning the dials, and which is so great. Like, that's calibration, right? And further, closer, warmer, yes, further away. And this is, you know, a very coachy like question, but when the shiny dancer is, and you're getting warmer, where do you feel it in your body? A lot of women are not in tuned to that vibration as you've honed your tuning pitch to that. Is there a place that you're like, ooh, this feels good? And conversely, when tap dancer, you know, shapeshifter is around, you know she's there. And you're like, oh, there she is. Like, is there a space in your body that you hold the warm and the cold and you're like, oh, I can tap into that. I know what's going on here.
I wish there was that super clarity around that. So when I'm on an airplane and there's turbulence, I get nervous about that. My core heats up. I can feel that in my gut and I'm holding onto the armchair, the arms of the seat and what have you. That's one feeling that I know is a big signal for me when something of that nature is happening, more leaning towards the tap dancer. Mm-hmm. I have to challenge myself because there's times when I'm nervous about stepping outside my comfort zone where that heat also builds. When I have to lean more towards, this is the light shining bright dancer that is really wanting to do more of these sorts of things. So I'm trying to be more deliberate about which of those things are occurring for me. And I personally am not there yet. Honestly, I want to be really transparent. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I've got this nailed. And
no, this is a life's work, right?
This is a life's work. But it really does come back to, is this in alignment with my values? Is this in alignment with what I want to bring to the world and how I want to show up? And making sure that I'm not shape-shifting to accommodate someone else's expectations of me or someone else's world.
I want to talk about that feeling, because I've had it most recently, of something big is on the horizon. And it's that feeling that you just talked about around, it feels like it's turbulence, but you're like, oh, it's not the tap dancer. It's like, ooh, this is transformation. This is something big. It's about to happen. It's scary. I think a lot of times in our lives, we just stay back and we hold ourselves back because it's comfortable. We talk a lot about that being the saboteur. Like, our saboteur voices are actually, they love us dearly and they try to protect us. So they're like, oh, don't go shaking things up. Like, we know exactly the formula of life right now. And it may not be great, but we know it. So don't get out over your skis. Don't put yourself in a vulnerable position. Like, launching this podcast, to be completely honest, I was like, I sat with like, no way. Who do I think I am? What do I have to bring to the world? But I felt sitting, like you said, is this turbulence like, oh, the plane is going to go down? Or is this like, oh, we're almost to our destination and I'm so excited to get off the plane? And so talk to us about like pushing yourself into uncomfortable opportunities in the world. And how do you motivate to get, okay, yes, I'll do that?
Yeah. I've really wanted to take on more opportunities that do push me outside that comfort zone, because I do know that I've had tremendous growth as a result of it. Because I also work with a lot of founders, venture-backed founders, who are very much at the same exact stage. I've been on many founding teams of companies where you're starting off with something, you have to have conviction that this is the thing that you want to put out in the world. And it has to be deeper than, I want to build a product and become a founding CEO of something. It has to be built because you believe deeply that this has to be out in the world. And you're willing to also work through the messy beginnings of learning, right? You're not going to get it right. We're going to stumble through parts of the podcast and we're going to do our level best to bring value to your listeners. And of course, that's what we want. And these are some of the first laps of doing it. We're just going to be learning. And this is part of that. And this is why I'm also saying yes to doing a podcast, because one, I believe in you and I believe in what you're creating on behalf of women. And I want to step outside my comfort zone, offer something that I think about in hopes that it helps someone. My background right now, because I'm focused a lot on venture and venture scale and all these like think big things, it can be squashing to your, I don't know, mentality if you're starting with something small. There's so much value in starting with that something small and delivering on that for a few people. Impacted a handful of people's lives as a result of this conversation. That's fantastic. That is a ripple effect that's going to occur, where sometimes you don't move because you're like, well, it has to be massive and it's got to be this huge thing. But if that's what your prize is in this moment, the steps that you're going to take are going to feel insurmountable.
Yes.
So like resetting on the value of small at the beginning as a part of what it is that your impact is.
I love that. I catch myself and my clients around having expectations for what it's going to be. And I don't know about you all, but like, if you think about like expectations always leave you disappointed. We were expats for a really long time and I had great expectations for some of our vacation travels. The kids, they're on the beach or they're on the airplane. They're behaving beautifully. People are walking by saying, oh, your children are so beautiful. And in reality, it's raining. They're not on the beach. The kids are screaming on the airplane and I am left disappointed. Very upset because my expectations were so high. So we often refer to this as having great expectancy. Expectancy is just like a word that has hopefulness in it. Like, I'm hopeful this podcast lands well. If not, okay, it was an offering and great. We're trying, we're moving forward. But I really want to give our listeners, and I want to hear your thoughts on the words expectancy as you think about these little nuggets. Like we often talk about murmuration. Like, why are we calling this murmuration? Because you and I talking here might have one ripple effect to one listener. And then if she rises to meet her little fear, trepidation of like, oh, I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to go for it. What if only like two people show up for whatever I'm building? Those two people may be impacted. And then there's the ripple out. And then there's a ripple out. And then there's a ripple out. And I really believe right now in the world with everything going on, we need women to step into that little bit of uncomfortableness so that they can actually help transform not only the larger community, but more importantly themselves, because that equals joy. These little things are like joyful, and that actually will impact one or two, which will have a bigger ripple. There's expectancy around just goodness out in the world. How does that land with you when I talk about expectancy?
I think we all put out those expectations when you see social media and other things of what looks like the highlight reel of someone else's vacation, mm-hmm. right? You imagine that this was their experience and it was fabulous and the kids weren't on their screens the whole time and they were out on the beach and doing all the right stuff. And I worked at Disney for a bit of time during college, and they talked about the Disney effect of going to Disney. You'd stand in these lines, sweaty, hot, all the things that your kids were melting down. They were overstimulated. And at the end, though, that you took these great pictures, and what you're reminded of is this moment of a smile. And that effect has you going, oh, well, this must have been a fabulous trip and I should do this again. Let's go. And so there's a little bit of imagining and hoping for what you bring to the mix. But if it's impacting how you show up when things don't go well, we've all been to a party, right? Where the host is nervous and everything has to be just so, and they don't look like they're having any fun at all. And it's just is like the anxiety of being there is not comfortable or enjoyable.
You've been to some of my parties.
No, you're a
It's how I feel when I'm entertaining, right?
But it's a great reminder, right? Of like, you want it to go well, but if you're showing up like a hot mess, nobody's having fun. So I've been to others where the contrast is they've got this flow about them. Yeah, I have a hope that it's going to go a certain way and the drinks are flowing and the people are having a great time, but there's only so much you can orchestrate. And even that you can't really control, right? So it's thinking through of, how do I want to show up for something, even when the wheels come off the bus? And they will. And so it is that balance again. It is the, like, I want to put the hope and the vision of some of the things that go well about it, and also realize that much of how I show up will determine the experience that people have of me.
Oh, that is so, so great. We work with leaders all the time around the responsibility that they have to own their impact. And I believe that every person is a leader. So whether you are in corporate or you are a CEO of your household, you are a leader and you are leading yourself forward. And so you are responsible for your impact at any given moment. And so I love the intentionality around that. It's like, even in my hot, messy self, it's like, you know what? Here I am. I'm just doing the best we can. There's a great book that we often have readers and our clients pick up, and it's the four agreements. And one of them is like, everybody's just doing the best they can. And sometimes my best is 20%, but how do I want to show up in my 20% is, I think, what you're talking about and being intentional around that.
Yeah, that lands for sure.
This is a great segue into when we want to own our impact. That brings us into nature wisdom is what we refer to it. I'd love to know about, how do you tap into inspiration? Where do you level set? How do you level set? Where do you say, I need a moment to find some clarity? How do you pause to gain clarity? Because when we pause to gain clarity, that allows us to, we say to leaders actually to own their impact, just pause for a moment and don't react. But if it's in the pause where we can realign with our values, we can decide how we want to show up. So let's move into, how do you realign? How do you re-inspire yourself? What makes Maria Hess tick?
Well, when I quiet the noise of devices and laptops and all of that things, that's a great first start for me because I'm not distracted by all the notifications and stuff. So that's, for me, step one. And the place that I go for both this combination of clarity and quiet, as well as pushing outside my comfort zone, is my new love for diving that I've developed over the course of the last 10 years. And it was something that I did. So back up 10 years, going through a divorce, and I was thinking, what am I going to do in this moment that's not day drinking? I need a better option. You know, I wanted something where it was considered to be kind of a forbidden thing to do. And I had a bunch of family stories related to diving that weren't happy stories. And I really wanted to go try it because there's something about the underwater world that is mesmerizing to me. It's fascinating. So I took that on. The thing I didn't know at the time as I was getting into it was how much I was going to be challenged personally around my own confidence, around my own inner wisdom for the moments in time where I've stood up with a tank on my back and taken a giant step into the water. And even from the point of when I learned in the Puget Sound is 40 some degrees Fahrenheit water temperature. I was in 17 mils of wetsuit, rather. For anyone who knows that, it's super thick. You look like the Michelin man trying to waddle into the water.
We all thought you were crazy, by the way.
Yeah. And I had hypothermia each of this time. So really not selling diving in this moment, but I will tell you what it did for me in that moment was to dig deep into, you can do this, you are going to do this, and you're going to prove to yourself that you can do it. Part of that, it's really like taking me back. What I want to offer to that is it took me through the paces, I mean, truly down to my knees of getting out of the water, getting warm again, and going, okay, I can do this again. As I describe that out loud, I'm going, okay, you sound like you're a crazy woman, you know, wanting to get back into the water. But I was hellbent on doing that. You see, anybody who's crossing the finish line of a marathon who was in a gazelle and just jumping over it is getting to the end of that finish line. Go stand there and watch people do that. The same was my experience of getting through this diving thing. And I was hellbent on doing it. But it was transformational for me because, one, I knew I could do it. Two, it required me to be assertive about the things that I needed to have in order to make that successful for me. And so that was something where bringing my voice forward was a result of that overall experience of being scared, of having to articulate my fear, having to ask for help, something I'm not great at doing either, and really saying, okay, I'm going to do this and I believe this is the right thing for me. So I'll just pause there.
Thank you for sharing a very real and important moment in your life. And what I can take away from that is that you put yourself back in the driver's seat of your life.
Part of what it also gave for me, you know, what I really wanted in the moment was the ability to talk about something with others that wasn't necessarily my kids or my job that made me feel interesting. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about the things I went and saw, the adversity that I had to traverse in order to like want to do this again, where you can see beautiful creatures floating through the water and what it required me to bring to bear in order to get to that made me feel so proud. You can see this in me like bubbling. This is the dancer on the right shoulder, excited to talk about it, excited to share it with the world, excited to inspire others to do something similar. It doesn't have to be diving. It could be something that's equally a mix of both scary and challenging and outside the comfort zone, but with big rewards and payoffs.
When we are feeling like life is happening to us and that we are like at the tail end of that whip, life can feel disorienting. And so what I heard before you stepped into your very thick wetsuit in a very cold Puget Sound was chaos and disruption. And you had lost a little bit of where and how and an anchor. And when we are allowed to bring ourselves back into being fully at choice, I work with clients all the time. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? And how do you want to bring it to fruition? And how do you want to get yourself back into, there's a circle of influence and the circle of concern. Like, how can you bring something back into your influence? And you're like, I'm going to do it because I can. I know I can get into that boat. I know I can get into that water. And so you brought control back into yourself. And actually, it stayed this love, this moment that you gave to yourself. You need to know this woman travels all over the world to dive, and she does it on her own. it's a place where she can be okay. And I love that you've connected with the dive community and you can just rock up on a boat by yourself. You know, you have to buddy with people, right? And you're often partnered with total strangers, but you are in control of yourself. And that's how you're grounding in your confidence and how you want to show up in the world. And yes, you'll be there for your buddy and your partner, but I think it's phenomenal how that moment, that transformational moment, has actually opened up a whole world for you that actually not many of us know about, because it's, you do it. Now you get to do it with Ruby. So that's super cool that you brought that into her life. So thank you for talking about that, that place and that moment to be in the deep and peaceful down there. I love that. And do you find that you book a trip when you are feeling the turbulence in the airplane coming? Do you're like, I might need to go underwater for a little bit. Do you do that?
I do. I mean, I will tell you that is my go-to kind of motion of this is what I need to go make happen for myself. And I realized, you know, the privilege that I have to be able to say that that's the thing I go do. I even at times will go into the Puget Sound and go find divers to make that happen. And
which is just down the street from her. She literally goes down to the harbor. And we're like, oh, there she goes again.
I'm in a dry suit with, yes. A
she's
diver.
Making values-based decisions because she's going diving. I love that.
The other thing that has helped me as well is the ability to say, I'm not diving with this buddy if I don't think that they're the right safe diver. I am making choices based on my well-being and my ability to survive a dive based on whether this buddy is competent or not. Sure. And so there's other times where I would have been like, oh, let's gloss over that. I would be tap dancing.
Yes.
And trying to make peace. But oh, no, I don't want to overstate the risk of diving. But it is important to follow safety protocols and be a good, solid judgment diver. And if I see someone who's not that, who is full of ego, making decisions to run out of air and other things of that nature, no way. Sorry. Next. Thank you. Next. Or I won't go on the dive. I wouldn't have had that voice before to say something that I might think would have offended another diver or what have you. And now I look back at that and I go, ah, God, I was silly. And yet I'm proud of myself for the voice that I do bring. And that's shown up in other ways.
This is life or death, right? But I think that's a really great metaphor for people can apply that to why would we put up with really bad behavior in the workplace? Why would we put up with people who we feel don't have our best interest at heart in a committee meeting? Or, I mean, so it's like, who do we want to surround ourselves with that can keep us safe and who can elevate our game? And conversely, you're giving that to them. So I think it's a great metaphor for let's apply that to all aspects of life and who we're surrounding ourselves with. And that actually brings us to our third pillar, which is collective wisdom. When I'm coaching with my clients and we're working on maybe they're switching careers, I love to have women think about themselves as a personal brand. And everybody knows brand campaigns and stuff like that. And we think about what's their brand image. We don't actually do that and think about that as ourselves. Like, what's my personal brand? We want everybody to start really thinking who's listening to this is like, who's in your collective wisdom? Who's on your board of advisors that's guiding your personal brand forward? You know, we don't have to do this thing called life on our own. We are connected humans. We need to be interstitched with others. So talk to me about who is in your collective wisdom. How do you activate them? What's important about them? How do you surround yourself with the right people?
Well, I've come to realize how important it is to rely on certain friends for certain things, right? I think I used to believe that you had to have one bestie. And it was this person who's going to be all things. And I have shifted that belief certainly over time because I have lots of besties who are incredible for a variety of reasons. It's sort of like the C-suite, right? You don't have just a CFO, you have a CTO, a CRO, a chief people officer, like whatever those skill sets are to bring to bear. So to answer your question, I mean, my sister, Lynn, is an incredible asset on my board. She is masterful in reframing how you think about things. She has certain ways of asking questions that help me illuminate maybe a different perspective on something. So she is certainly among that. I mean, for my last birthday, inviting all these women, I'm thinking they are specifically part of this board that I rely on.
Yes.
And even made a toast. If you don't know it now, you have been on my board, some who were present, some who couldn't make it, of course, but they still very much are. And I go to each of them for different things. And I think that's kind of the muscle that collectively I hope, you know, my kids and others have is, yes, you can have the bestie, but also have those that you pull on for certain moments in time or certain skills or certain other ways to help keep you on your track and keep you honest to the wisdom that you really should be hearing or you are but are ignoring.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. And what you do so masterfully, and you haven't always been able to do this. This is all part of like our evolution and growth. And this is a pearl of wisdom that Maria is offering to all of us, is the intentionality and the calling forth of each of those women and men, people in your life, to say, hey, when I call you, this is actually what I need. And that's so great to be the recipient of that. It's like, oh, one, she values me. Two, I know exactly what Maria needs at this moment. And so as you're listening to this, you know, I know we all have a bunch of girlfriends and we have, you know, our college friends, we have groups of friends, but we're talking about something that is a little more intentional around helping you go through life with purpose, with connection. So think about the people that are in your lives and maybe start to assign them jobs, roles. And these people can ebb and flow in your life. Like some of the people that are on my board of advisors are new. They're new to my sphere because of what I'm doing with Murmuration Collective. But others, you know, were really great when I was in marketing at Nike and I would go to them for specific needs. So don't think about your board of advisors as having to be static. And once they're on, they're on. They ebb and flow based on what's valuable in your life right now. And so I love that. I mean, literally at her birthday party, we were in a circle. There was this calling forth of us. And then I think, if memory serves correctly, we did shake our tail feathers a little bit together to just seal it in, right? Because absolutely, the dancer in us had to come out, right?
Always part of the ritual. You got to have some dancing.
So, Maria, I know we're almost at the end of our time here. We could do this all day, where I could do it all day with you. I know that absolutely, you need to go back to work. I like to end these podcasts with pearls of wisdom. So if you had, and again, this is an offering, folks. This is not Maria telling us what we should do. This is sort of like what's worked for her. But is there any pearls of wisdom that you would like to share with the collective, whether it be about your board of advisors or about inspiration or getting in touch with your inner wisdom? We've gone through a lot today, but if you wanted to bottom line one thing for the listeners, what would be an interesting takeaway?
I think it's being intentional about the people that you give access to you and the energy that you either receive or you bring to them. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people that will want your time and want to, you know, to engage with you for a variety of reasons. And I've become more specific about who I can help and be helpful for, but also who I want to have more time with. And it's those that are radiating kindness and thoughtfulness and positive energy, and not in some weird toxic positivity kind of way, in an authentic, helpful way. And the ones that are gossiping or those kinds of things are not the ones I want to have in my inner circle. And I've had to get clearer and clearer about that. My board is strong and I love and value each of them. And to be on that board, those are some of the criteria that I require, that they're bringing their unique selves. They're helping shine a brighter light for others as opposed to having to dim that light for the others. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's really important to me.
I love that.
And you're one of those people, Lucy. Like, I really am so excited for what you're building, and I adore you and so proud of you. And you're making this happen. I'm just like, I'm tearful because of like how I think you're going to be amazing at all of this and are already.
Thank you so much, dear friend. You are a bright light in my life and for many, many, many others. Keep being yourself, keep diving. Keep doing what you're doing because it is so impactful. You are creating positive impact in the world, and I thank you. And I will see you later in the spring when we get together. So thank you so much. Be well and take care.
Okay. Love you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Collective Wisdom. I hope you're feeling connected, inspired, and transformed by this conversation. We've created a digital reflection journal just for you to deepen your inquiry about what you truly want next in your life. All you need to do is sign up for our mailing list, linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed your time here, make sure to subscribe and tune in every other Tuesday for more episodes. In addition, check out the Murmuration Collective social channels for more exclusive content, linked in the show notes. See you next time on Collective Wisdom.